like to welcome those who are listening to our tapes this morning. And as I look out at our congregation, Water of Life, this morning, everybody has their coats on, and I don't see any mittens, but we probably will have those on before the service is over, because we have had a sudden change in weather. Last week it was about 50 or 55 degrees out, and we thought spring was here, and the Greek geese were coming north and everything. And today my thermometer read 5 below, and the wind chill was 25 below. I think the geese are going back south, figuring they probably made a mistake. Came up a little bit early, I don't know. But for those of you on the tape, if you would like to kind of fit in with our group, well, go get yourself a freezer and sit in there and close the door for a half hour, and you'll know about what we're feeling like here. But we're going to keep going here. We're going to, I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew 21. And we're going to look at a few thoughts from the first 11 verses. Now, this is a very well-known reading. It's the reading that a lot of churches read every Palm Sunday, and it talks of the entrance of Christ into the city of Jerusalem. We're 1 week right now before the crucifixion. So I'd like to read through the text first, and then we'll go back and take a few thoughts from it that the Holy Spirit gives us. We're in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightly he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed after cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. We are right now 1 week before the crucifixion. And there's a very heavy emphasis in the four Gospels on the final days of Jesus. So from chapter 21 in Matthew's Gospel to the end of chapter 28, we're going to be talking about that final week before the crucifixion and the crucifixion itself, and then that brief period of time after the resurrection from the dead. We'd like to kind of zero in this morning on that little colt and the donkey and the colt, that gave Jesus a ride into Jerusalem. There's much in here, but to begin with, this is the only time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John that we hear of Jesus riding on an animal. Usually, when he went from one place to another, he walked. If you wanted to cross the sea, he got in a boat. But this is the only time that we hear of him riding on an animal. And it's not the kind of animal that you and I would anticipate. I mean, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I would have thought that he would have come riding into Jerusalem on a silver stallion. High old silver away, like the Lone Ranger used to do. But we don't see that. We see him coming in a very humble way, not like a victorious warrior, but like a servant ready to die, riding in on a little donkey. And not only that, but he had to borrow the thing. He told two of his disciples, you go and you'll find a colt there, a donkey or the colt, loose them and bring them to me. If anybody says to you, say to them, the Lord hath need of them. And I don't want to get into this a whole lot, but this is one of the most amazing sentences in the whole scripture. The Lord has need of them. Just think a little bit about that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one by whom and for whom all things were created, the one who owns everything, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he needs a donkey. Got to borrow one. And we think of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 here, which reads this way, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that ye through his poverty might be rich." And we've seen examples of the poverty of Jesus, how he became poor, right from the beginning, haven't we? I remember his birth. He was born in a stable, out in a manger with the animals, because there was no room for him in the inn. And then shortly after he was born, while he was taken down into Egypt, a night flight to escape from soldiers who were out to take his life. Maybe he had a ride on a donkey there too. Think of it. Doesn't specifically say that. He probably did. And all the way through his life, he never had much, never owned any land. Had to ask for a coin to find out whose image and superscription was on it when the Pharisees started tricking him with the tax question. All the way through his life, he lived in poverty, so you and I might be rich. Now at the end, he's got to borrow this donkey. So he comes into Jerusalem on this donkey, and this was done, in verse 4 tells us, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. And everything that Jesus did, he did with an eye toward the word of God to fulfill scripture. We're going to take a little bit of a look at that this morning. There are different animals in this creation that remind us of different things. Like, for example, when you think of the devil, the scripture compares him to a serpent, as he appeared as a serpent in the Garden of Eden, remember that? Compares him to a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And in the last chapters of the book of Job, there are two ferocious animals. They're not in existence anymore today, they're extinct. But these two animals are probably what more than any other animals in the face of the earth characterize the devil. One was called Behemoth, the other was called Leviathan. These were very vicious, powerful animals. You can read about them in the last chapters of Job. The Lord Jesus is compared to an animal too, isn't he? He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. So the lion can mean represent either the devil or Jesus. He's also compared to the Lamb of God. He's compared to an eagle. But what about you and I? What are we compared to? Man by nature. What is man compared to? And there's one animal in all creation that you and I are most like by nature. And that's the donkey, the jackass. Man usually doesn't think that of himself. You say, I am an eagle, I am a lion. You know, there's one guy who said something, I'd rather live 10 years like a tiger than 100 years like a cow. This sort of thing. We like to think of ourselves as strong and powerful. God says, no, thou art an ass. And if here's where you do a little bit of word study, and this is going to be a little bit of an instruction as to how to understand Scripture, how the Holy Spirit has written this book. Now, the word donkey, if you look up the word donkey in a concordance, or if you're using the King James Bible, you look up the word ass. And I think all of you in the congregation have Young's Concordance in your home, and you go home and you look that up, and you find that the Holy Spirit uses this word many, many times in the Old Testament, a few times in the New. And if you study this word, you find out an awful lot about yourself. And I'm starting with something like, for example, I'll see if I can find this here. In the book of Job, chapter 11, verse 12. Job, chapter 11, and this in the King James translation. We've got to use the King James translation for this. But in Job, chapter 11, verse 12, there's a verse that reads this way, "For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt." So the writer here, the Holy Spirit here, compares a human being to a wild ass's colt. We're born in the same way by nature. That's how we come into the world. Now, we're going to take a few moments here to look at a few verses in Scripture this morning, and I have these listed in your bulletin. And those of you who are listening on the tapes, you'll have a bulletin sent along also. And for your convenience also, these passages are listed here. There could be a few more, but these are chosen because they kind of show us what God is getting at when He compares us to a donkey. And I guess right now, offhand, the one thing we know about donkeys is that they're very stubborn and stiff-necked. The word stiff-necked is used over and over and over in the Old Testament to describe the children of Israel, the idea being that they're like a donkey that stiffens their neck and will not allow the yoke to be put on it. Very stubborn and rebellious against God. The very first reference to the donkey is way back in Genesis chapter 22. And Genesis 22 is one of the key chapters of the whole Old Testament. It's the chapter where the father was about to sacrifice his son. Abraham took Isaac up to a mountain and bound him and was about to sacrifice him for a burnt offering because God had told him to do that. And it took place on Mount Moriah, which is the very same place that hundreds of years later Jesus Christ was crucified. So it's a foreshadowing of the very part of Scripture that we're about to study now when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem to offer himself for our sins and be crucified. And the passages that we're going to look at were written by different human authors and separated by hundreds of years, but we know that the Holy Spirit inspired all of this, so there's a teaching here. And the first passage we've got listed is Genesis chapter 22, verse 3. And I'm going to start reading from the first verse of the chapter. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. The word tempt there really means test. Test of Abraham's faith. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So Abraham, in verse 3, rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. The first thing we learn then about the donkey is that the donkey is a beast of burden. He had a saddle on him. And the reason Abraham saddled him is because this donkey was going to be carrying burdens. And that's the same way it is with you and I. When we are born into the world, we, before very long, are saddled with very heavy burdens. And this is because of the curse of sin. You know, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, God put a curse over the whole world. And when Adam was created, he was created in the image of God. But when he had a son, he had a son in his own likeness. And Adam, being a sinner, handed down the sin to his son. This is called original sin. It's handed down to all of us. And by nature, we are children of wrath. We're under the curse. Scripture says man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. It doesn't take very long to figure that out. One thing after another, our lives are filled with trials and tribulation. Well, this donkey was saddled with a saddle, and then Abraham and Isaac and two servants started their journey toward Mount Moriah. Verse 4 says, On the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And now in verse 5 we have another reference to that donkey. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. There's a bunch of interesting things here. Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, and he looked upon this as an act of worship, because this is what God had told him to do. And whenever you are obeying God's command, you're worshiping. In fact, your whole life is an act of worship. It's kind of like your body is living, your body is placed upon an altar as a living sacrifice, so that whatever you do to the honor and glory of God. This is what we should be doing. And notice that Abraham and Isaac were going to leave the donkey and the two young servants, the servants back there. And Abraham and Isaac were going to go up to the mountain and worship and come again. The donkey then was excluded from worshiping God. He couldn't do it. He had to stay behind. And by nature, this is the way it is with you and me too. We cannot approach God. Why not? Because God is holy. And we're sinners. And no one that has sin can approach God and worship Him. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. They feel that they can worship God and God has to take anything they offer Him. That's not true. God is very, very particular on what He'll take for worship and who can approach Him. And the only ones that can approach Him are the ones whose sins are forgiven. And the only way that can happen is if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So only a true child of God can really worship God. None of the heathen people can do it. They can't do it. They're excluded because of sin. Just like this donkey was, he had to stay behind while Abraham and Isaac went up to worship. Now, the next thing we learn about this donkey, the next passage that I have listed is in Genesis chapter 49. And it's in verse 14. There's a little bit of that's kind of a little interesting detail here. Issachar, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, is compared to a donkey. And the passage reads this way: Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. The donkey was strong, but he was weighed down. And he was weighed down very heavily by two burdens. And I believe that this has a reference to the two burdens that you and I are weighed down with by nature also. And I'm talking about the commands that God has given us of things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do. These are called sins of commission, the things we do that we shouldn't, and things of omission, things we shouldn't do that we do. But there's these two areas. And these are two very, very heavy burdens for us, because there's a lot of things that we should do that we don't. And there's a lot of things that God wants us to do that we don't do. A lot of things we do that we're not supposed to do. These two things are kind of like two great big mountains of sin. And God's going to judge both areas. This is rather an amazing thing when you look at Jesus Christ. Then He always did everything that His Father told Him to do. And He never did anything His Father told Him not to do, in thought, word, or deed. This is an amazing thing. You and I couldn't begin to come close to it. So, by nature, we are weighed down with these two heavy burdens. And that's why Jesus says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." That's us. And we're laboring, we're struggling under these things. And He says, "You come to Me, and I'll give you rest." And we'll get into that a little bit more, a few more minutes. Deuteronomy chapter 22, the next passage we have listed. And these are so far all of them in the books of Moses, first five books of Moses. Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 10. And that reads this way. This is a command: "Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together." Why not? Why were the farmers in Israel not allowed to hook an oxen and a donkey together? Well, an oxen was a clean animal. A donkey was an unclean animal. And later on in Scripture, it says, "The child of God, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." That a child of God has no fellowship with a child of the devil. We have different goals. We have different destinies. Our minds work differently. Our hearts are set on different things. So there really is no agreement between a child of God and a child of the devil. just as there's no agreement between light and darkness. And so the donkey by nature is an unclean animal. He could not even have an association and be yoked together with an ox that was a clean animal. You see, all these passages show that the donkey is separated from God. He can't worship him. He can't work together for him. He can't have fellowship with anybody that's with God. He's a beast of burden, and he's burdened with two extremely heavy burdens, struggling burdens that are so heavy that he really can't carry them. This is a terrible, terrible situation. The donkey is probably one of the most pathetic animals on the face of the earth. And this is what you and I are compared to. This is you and I by nature. Now, if you look at something like 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3, we've got another little indication here of something. And we're covering this rather quickly because we really don't have time to do it any other way. But I'm trying to show you how you do a little word study here. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3, "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, and go seek the asses." The donkeys were lost. The owner didn't have any idea where they were. And this is another example of how you and I are by nature. We are lost. Because when Adam fell into sin, all of this is handed down to us. And when you were conceived, even before you were born into the world, when you were conceived and you were in the womb of your mother, you were a sinner. And by nature, you were an enemy of God and a child of wrath. You were destined for hell unless some miracle occurred. That's by nature, before you're even born into the world. That's how serious this all is. If you look at something like Jeremiah chapter 22, now we're further on in the Bible, but there's another reference to a donkey. This is talking about the burial of a donkey in Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 9. And I'm seeing Jeremiah 22, verse 9. I have the wrong verse here. I'm not sure. I must have made a typographical error because this verse does not say what I had thought it was. It's verse 19, maybe. Jeremiah 22, 19. Let's look at that one. Yeah, it's 19. So change this in your bullet. It's not Jeremiah 22:9. It's Jeremiah 22:19, and that reads this way: "He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem." When a donkey was buried, he was not allowed to be buried inside the holy city. He had to be taken outside the city and buried outside the walls. As you think of this, remember that when Jesus suffered and died, he had to suffer and die outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because God took all the sins of the whole world and put them on his son. He made him to be sin for us. And so Jesus Christ was carrying all the sins of the whole world, and he had to get out of the holy city. He had to be crucified outside the walls of the city, just like this donkey had to be buried out there. Outside the walls of the city, because he's an unclean animal, had no part of the city of God. Now, the last mention of the donkey in Zechariah is in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 in the Old Testament. And here, all of a sudden, you see a tremendous turnaround. After all the bad things that we've learned about the donkey, look at Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." This donkey that was weighed down with these heavy burdens all of a sudden has a different burden. Now he's not carrying the burdens of his own sins, he's carrying Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? that this donkey, that all we've heard about him all the way through the Old Testament is that he's separated from God, he's evil, he's unclean, he had nothing to do with God. And all of a sudden, at the end of the Old Testament in Zechariah, here we see a donkey riding into Jerusalem, and he's carrying the Son of God on his back. This is an amazing thing. How could that be? How is it possible that this animal, this an unclean thing and nothing good can be said about it, all of a sudden has the honor of being able to give Jesus Christ a ride into the city of Jerusalem? How can that be? There's an answer to it. Look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. There was one way that a donkey could live, and it's in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. It reads this way: and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. When you had a firstborn of a donkey, that donkey was supposed to be killed. His neck was supposed to be broken. Remember we said before, the children of Israel often were called stiff-necked people. And this stiff neck, God is finally going to break one way or the other. And so the firstborn of a donkey, his neck was supposed to be broken. If you wanted to save the donkey, there's one way you could do it. Only one way. And that is take a lamb in its place and kill the lamb so that the donkey can live. That's the only way the donkey could live. And when you and I were born into the world, we were born like a wild ass's colt. We too are separated from God. We were destined to suffer eternally in hell. God says, I'll give you one way to live. One way, because I love you. You've got to find a lamb, the Lamb of God, who's willing to take your sins, your burdens upon him, and suffer the penalty that you had coming. He's got to be willing to die for you in your place. And that Lamb of God is Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. So you see, when this donkey was giving Jesus a ride into Jerusalem, why was Jesus going to Jerusalem? He was going there to die, wasn't he? And that donkey that we see in Matthew chapter 21, that's your history and mine. And what a blessing it was for that donkey to be able to have these heavy burdens of his own sin taken off and Jesus Christ sitting on his back. Remember what Jesus said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, you and I are going to carry burdens through this world one way or the other. We've got a choice. We can either be children of the devil and carry the burdens of our own sins, or we can come to Jesus Christ and have him take these burdens away and carry him. And sometimes it seems, boy, it's really hard being a Christian, isn't it? Sometimes it seems so hard because there are so many crosses that we have to carry. But really, it's not. Jesus says these burdens are all light. How can he say that? Because they're all blessings for us. Every cross we carry has a blessing in it. Because we're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we come to God, we worship him. And the promise that he gives us is this: that every burden I give you is going to work for your good. And finally, you're going to live in eternal glory in my kingdom. The donkey on Palm Sunday, a picture of your life and mine. We'll close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son into the world to redeem us, we who by nature were lost and condemned creatures and were excluded from having anything to do with you, only were your enemies and destined to suffer eternal wrath and the fiery pit of hell with the devil and his wicked angels. But you, in grace and love and mercy, sent your Son into the city of Jerusalem to die for us. And as we see that picture of your Son entering the city of Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey, we realize that this is our own picture. As we see the donkey, we're looking at ourselves. And we thank you for the blessed privilege of being able to substitute the burdens of our own sin to carry your Son. And we pray now the prayer that he's taught us to pray.